hills of Georgia, across the plains of Tennessee. I've seen and I've done most everything that a man can do or see. But if I could only borrow one dream from yesterday, I'll be on that train tomorrow. I'd be home on Christmas Day.
December 22nd, early week pod for the Malcolm Go podcast. That was the King, of course. I'll be home for Christmas, or I'll be home on Christmas Day, is that song. Off the classic Elvis Presley Christmas album. What a game yesterday. What a time to be alive. Your New England Patriots are winning in Baltimore in prime time. They're in their black shirts, looking like the villains they always are. And Patriots go up and down the field on him. Drake May, looking like a fucking king, throws for 300 yards in his, for the first time ever. Threw for 380, almost got to 400. No run game, no run defense. Fuck, didn't matter. Drake May. It's Drake May season. Drake May May, if I may say much so.
This is like when I get scared. Like, you see, I saw something online, like China was like loading up a bunch of missiles to like attack Taiwan. It's like, can we just wait till we know exactly how good Drake May is?
We
like,
know.
It's fine if you do it in 8 years, but yeah. Like, what if Drake May is unbelievable?
Yeah, no.
You don't know his ceiling yet.
There is no ceiling. The ceiling is higher than anybody you've ever seen. He's climbing the pocket. He's running. He's putting it all together. I've been on this podcast all year talking about he's got to run more. He doesn't have to slide into second base after 1 yard. You're more athletic than anybody on the field. He's doing it. He's running. He's clearly, he's not, you know how most young quarterbacks, well, like if there's pressure up the middle, they fall out the back of the pocket and like go to the right or the left. Drake's climbing the pocket like a young Tom Brady would do. He has more athleticism side to side, can throw the ball anywhere. The only issue with I have with Drake May's game at all right now is he has like a touch of inaccuracy. Specifically in the early parts of the games, but sometimes, you know, randomly, he'll just have like a weird ball that's off. Like even the high pass to Hollins over the middle, he tends to throw Hollins up high for some reason. Maybe he does it on purpose. But then, like, you know, he threw a couple that were, and Collinsworth even said it yesterday, it was like he threw a couple inside that could have been picked that weren't, obviously, but that's literally the only gripe I have with him, and it's not hurting them in the least right now.
You can tell sometimes he doesn't trust himself, when he makes a throw. And then you watch him, you know, you can literally do anything you want. Yeah. And then sometimes he's like, he's just a little hesitant, it almost feels like.
He's our humble king. He just loves to go out there and just show off his talents and give the glory to God. Let Stephon Diggs. Why does Stephon Diggs come off the field? It literally makes no sense to me. Josh McDaniels, there's my gripe of the season with Josh McDaniels is that Stephon Diggs doesn't play a 100% of the snaps because he would have 150 yards every game.
I don't understand what's going on. He must not be 100% because he looks incredible. Or he's just one of these guys who, like, some games has it. Like, when he wants to be the guy, he can be the guy.
He seems like he's always fired up for a game. Like, he seems like he's under the lights specifically, like a primetime game, he's going to come 110%. But every game, he seems fired up, ready to go. And I don't know. Sometimes he like doesn't play. Sometimes he'll play like 35% of the snaps. And then you'll have like Mac Hollins and fucking Booty out there all game. And Booty's good for like two good catches a game. Hollins is like a 4 or 5 catch guy. But Diggs could literally give you 140 yards every night.
Yeah, Pop Douglas got hurt.
Yeah,
that was a bummer. Kyle Williams actually played pretty well in his, obviously, the big touchdown catch, but well in Douglas' place.
I don't know why he was playing in front of Douglas to begin with, and then Douglas came in, got hit, and got hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe he was banged up and went and then just got hurt immediately.
Everybody got hurt yesterday. They lost Morgan Moses. He came back, thankfully. His backup got hurt. Douglas got hurt. Tonga got hurt. Obviously, Diggs got hurt. He came back. Other people did, too. It was fucking a nightmare. Like, Farmer got hurt. How soft was that Lamar Jackson injury, too, by the way? I was like, he's not hurt. That's fake. He can't pop.
That's like a, I don't know. He might have, like, dislodged a kidney. Like, the way he was, like, looking like he was, like, oh, like, just in bad pain. Like,
yeah.
He got hit in, like, the weirdest spot ever. And,
didn't even like, look like his
knee. He might have no liver anymore. Like, yeah. Something weird internally happened with him.
Something's fucking going on. He's probably because he's fucking whatever he's gotten. All those Baltimore Ravens wear grills. You know, they all have, like, full grills in their mouth. They're probably just getting fucking kidney failure from fucking whatever that's causing their body to do.
Yeah, copper poisoning. He's chewing. He has a lead grill in.
Yeah, exactly. Just lead and asbestos.
He did a move, though, like, when he was walking into the locker room where he, like, clearly knew where the camera was.
Yeah.
As he was, like, walking into the locker room to give, like, an extra, like, oh, it really hurts, man.
That's me, me when I know someone's watching me, but I don't, you know, I pretend that I don't know. So I just have to, like, limp extra where I used to, like, fake injuries. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the Ravens were thinking yesterday. Like, because they pretty much had that game in hand after the Patriots did that stupid fake punt. And, you know, they fucking had Derrick Henry just run right down our throat. I knew we were going to have to outscore them because we could not stop them. If Lamar Jackson stayed in, probably would have lost. But I don't know, though, because, I mean, that Huntley guy, we didn't really stop him. So, I mean, we couldn't stop their offense at all.
The Patriots...
They could run on us at will.
But we always, like, rise to the occasion.
Yeah, that's a Patriots
like, we got dominated by the Bills the entire second half. And then, like, we needed to make one play at the end of the game, and we did it to get the ball back. Like, this game, it felt like, uh-oh. Like, they're coming out. They scored the touchdown, and then we looked like they're marching, and then we stripped Henry. Like, where we just make plays.
Boys make plays. I mean, I agree. I mean, Henry, and then they just pulled Henry out for no reason. They scored a touchdown, and like, yeah, he doesn't need to play anymore. Like, fucking, I was like, is he hurt? He was on the sidelines, no helmet on, and they were playing the backup. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? We were stopping that guy. Like, that guy could barely get to the line of scrimmage. But meanwhile, Derrick Henry, I mean, we couldn't touch him until he had 10 yards already. If that.
Our linebackers are horrendous.
Stink. Yeah, stink. That's the main problem. I mean, no Spillane, who's your only, you know, above replacement level linebacker. He's out. Milton Williams, your best overall player and definitely your best defensive lineman, run stopper, is not playing. And then Kyrus Tonga got hurt. He's your second best run stopping lineman. And then you got all nickel fucking linebackers. This is what I said to start the year. I was like, people are just going to run us over. If Milton Williams went out, it was like, we're just going to run over in the playoffs, if that ever became a thing. I compared him to the Chargers when we went and won the Super Bowl in 2018. I was like, they had no linebackers, and Bill Belichick was like, fuck it, we'll run Sony Michel 50 times this game. And he had like 300 yards and 4 touchdowns that game.
We have like Tavai, who's he actually made some nice tackles. Like, he was the only one who was like feels strong enough to bring down Henry, but
yeah,
Gibbons is just useless.
He had a decent game. He's a nice, he's a fill-in guy. You know what I mean?
He did not have a decent game. If you watch every one of Henry's runs,
yeah,
Gibbons is in the hole and can't get off the block as Derrick Henry's gashing us for like 25 yards.
Yeah, no, it was, but this like it's fucking threefold. It's the linemen can't get off blocks. They're not blocking hole. They're not taking on block. Guys are getting to the second level, blowing up, you know, our average linebackers anyway. And then the safeties aren't going to fucking put their life on the line to tackle Derrick Henry in the hole by themselves. It's craziness. I just didn't understand why they took him out of the game. It was weird as fuck.
Gonzalez came up and made like a nice business decision. He was like one on one in the open field. It was early in the game, and he tried to like go low. It was like such a weird tackle. I was like, who the fuck tried to do that to Derrick Henry? And then you look, and it was Gonzalez. I was like, all right, good. Actually, you should be doing
just
that.
Dive on the ground, and maybe he'll trip over you, because the last thing we need is you getting hurt. Because
later in the game, he like Derrick Henry like flipped him over and body. He ended like on his back. Like it was like when a little kid wrestles his dad.
Yeah.
And like tries to, and he tossed him, and Gonzalez went flying, just landed awkwardly.
It's pretty good. There was, he made one good tackle on like a pitch left or something, and it was a. And Vrabel said that they were like must have been practicing in this week how to avoid the stiff arm and like slip it. And Gonzalez slipped the stiff arm and like got on his back and took him down. It was pretty good.
That was the one when he landed like, and then he flipped. He landed like completely on his back at the end of it.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I don't know. He tackled him, though.
No, he did.
Yeah. I respect it. And then Drake May just looked incredible yesterday. I mean, pretty pedestrian first half, but then his second half was just basically a perfect third and fourth quarter. What do you have, like two incompletions? The most egregious, fucking, the, you know, how many teams, by the way, would go in the tank after that non-call on Booty, which was the worst non-call I've seen since the New Orleans Saints debacle in the playoffs that year. I don't even remember who they were playing, but it was that fucking guy got...
The Vikings.
Was it the Vikings? That guy got absolutely not laid out in the game, and they were like, nah, it's clean play. Yeah, I mean, that was the worst non-call I've ever seen. I mean, I almost thought that they were just going to rule it a catch to, like, overrule the pass interference or something. But they're lucky they can't, that the Patriots came back and scored right after that, because that was the worst non-call I've ever seen.
That usually breaks a team.
That's what I mean. Like, they didn't quit after that. They just kind of went on to the next play.
That would have broke me. I would have like, well,
I was it. Broken on my couch. Yeah. I'm not even playing the game. I said they had a chance to win it. The refs fucked us. I was ready to fucking go on the internet and just torch them.
I could have went to bed easily after that, knowing that we won, but the refs fucked us.
Yeah, they fucked me. And we, I would have said, yeah, we're 11-4, but really 12-3. But, I mean, I've never seen anyone more dialed in on a deep pass than this kid. It's the craziest stuff I've ever watched. And then the credit to the receivers, too, because they're making great catches. I mean, that pass to Kyle Williams over the shoulder, along the sideline, at the front pylon is a crazy throw. Perfect throw. In double coverage.
That was money.
Yeah, I mean, there's no. It doesn't get better than that. That's like, I don't even know if Brady could throw that pass like that. I mean, he was like, it was like Manning kind of did that stuff. Like a deep pass, exactly.
Well, it was just
arced like that.
Yeah. Landed right on the outside. It's Rodgers is who it reminds me of the most.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense too.
Rodgers could just throw that money like deep ball. Like he would just sit in the, he would just unload on it.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I think of the week, which we really need to talk about, is KP's birthday.
That's huge for him. He's a him and I have gone. We've turned new decades. I didn't know I was exactly 10 years, or basically 10 years exactly older than him. I turned 40, and the young man turned 30. He had a nice white trash southern birthday, as one does.
One of, like, it's easily my favorite video of the year that I've seen of anywhere.
They all pack in, file right into the hibachi, as, you know.
And, yeah. In South Carolina, every birthday is spent at a hibachi.
Always.
And
all major.
KP's sitting there. KP's sitting at the bocce, and like, I wish we could upload the video. He's kind of like in the corner, and he's,
do you think,
like holding a balloon?
Do you think that he got thick, or do we think that it's a bad angle?
I mean,
because I've been calling him thick P for like the last week.
Well, here's the thing though, he wore that like. That sweater, like quarter zip sweater, that
with the elbow pads
that I immediately started buying as soon as I gained 10 pounds. Like that's the first purchase. As soon as you gain 10 pounds, that's the first thing you buy.
But in the South, that's like,
because it hides everything.
That it is, but those in the South, that's like the required uniform. When you're like, you know, once you get to be like 20, you need to be. Especially in like the fall and winter, it becomes layering season, and that's top layer. So they'll definitely always have another collared shirt under that, and typically like a t-shirt under that. So you got three layers on in the South always, and the quarter zip's the top. So it's just a thing that they do. But
yeah, maybe, I don't know. I that felt I'm just saying, I know exactly that purchase and when I wore it.
Yeah.
And it's, I know the seasons I'm wearing. I'll tell you, if I was 185 right now, I'm not wearing a quarter zip to Christmas, but guess who's wearing a quarter zip? Guess who's wearing one to Christmas?
Everyone's got. Listen,
I have mine picked out already.
All I have is all my quarter zips. That's all. I'm a quarter zip kid. It's me now.
So KP's sitting in the that's his girlfriend next to him, right?
Yep.
So it's the only people you can see in the video is KP's girlfriend, then him, and someone's videotaping him. Like they don't. It's weird. It's almost like.
Aunt.
It's not obvious, but they are. It's very probably obvious too at the same time. So it's just like a side profile. His girlfriend's there. KP is holding a balloon as what can, a 55-year-old Asian man is singing him happy birthday, and he's just clapping he's just clapping to the beat. Yeah. And it's catchy. So you start bobbing your head a little bit every time. Yeah. And then so he's doing it. And he's having the time of his life. Like, he couldn't be happier.
What a backdrop, too! It's literally during the onion volcano.
Oh, is that? Well,
that's it's literally during the onion volcano when this.
And then a 14-year-old Spanish boy comes over and lights a single cupcake for him. And then the Asian man tells him to stand up and dance, and KP dances. And he's just so I was just like almost jealous of like, I would never be like the disappointment my family would get if I was that person of me, like not really clapping that well offbeat. And then like, guys, I'm not fucking standing up. All right. What are we doing here? I would do that move. Instead, like he stood up and danced and his whole family was super happy about it. And he's happy. I was like, oh, I was so jealous. I was like, I don't have that in me.
A man with not a care in the world is what that was.
He was he's smiling ear to ear, just couldn't be happy.
That's when Vince was doing. I don't remember if we were talking about it on air or off air, but last week when Vince was just going, he was like, "I'm so mad at KP right now." Like all of us up here are just like, "I'm such a piece of shit. I'm fucking just like so depressed. I'm ruining everything. My whole family's life." And I'll call KP, and be like, "I'm fucking him, man. I'm him. I was down at the gym today, 6:50 a.m. I'm him." No, like, shut the fuck up. Why do you have so much confidence?
He sent us a text today about coming on the pod, and it was Tony goes, "All right, we'll do 8:45. Is that good for everyone?"
Yeah.
And he told us he was going somewhere, but didn't really say that. He was like, what time is it there? Google what time it is on the East fucking coast.
Yeah, before you ask that question. Never I don't know. Your fucking pilot. Doesn't your watch have multiple clocks on it? Just tell where you are. I mean, he was supposed to be in Baltimore yesterday. Pretty sure that's the same time as it is here.
Did he go to the game? Has anyone confirmed?
No, I know. Of course not. He did not. He said he was going. He's like, "I might be in stadium tonight." He just does shit like that all the time. I think he just says that just to be like, not that I would even care if he was in Baltimore to go to the game.
It would have been a cool game to go. Baltimore is probably a fun place. There's a ton of Pats fans there.
Yeah, I know. Rare. I loved it. Fucking, because Baltimore fans travel here a lot, which annoys me. And one time it really bothered me. You know, like Fenway used to bring like signs and shit to Red Sox would bring them to fans that would bring it to Camden Yards and call it Fenway South. And like it was stupid. And then somebody brought a banner in the playoffs and then Baltimore won. And these guys had a sign that said M&T Bank Stadium North. And I was very mad about it. It was one of the times where you would have seen me go into blows if I had to come across one of those guys. But yeah, he didn't go. I mean, what a game. I get on such a high beating Baltimore on the road that you can't even explain it. It's like sexual pleasure for me. There's like, I don't get that feeling beating anybody on the road except for Baltimore and Indianapolis. And Indianapolis, not even like that anymore, but like beating John Harbaugh specifically on the road feels great every time because they're the only team that could come to Foxborough and beat us for years.
Yeah, that was that's the only, yeah, and they still have like they're the same kind of identity team.
Yeah,
like they're still the Ravens with Harbaugh, and they're, you know, I don't know, they feel similar. And I thought someone was like coming in my back door, so I grabbed a golf club and
as one does.
push Gigi in front of me. Go, go. I was just so confused. I heard like rustling at my back door. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Fucking,
you guys almost fucking die on the podcast.
Yeah, you're going to get fucking home invaded on the pod. I don't even know what I would do.
Stop! Just scream like a girl. Get out!
That would be our only podcast to go viral. If someone came into my house and killed me, I'd scream like such a girl and die so cowardly. Everyone like, what? How did anyone have any reason? How did anybody marry this kid? He fucking cowardly dies on the floor. His family's in the house begging for mercy. It'd be the worst. It'd be the worst death you've ever seen or heard live on the audio. Like you literally, I mean,
can you just wait till the end of the season to cut, and you can come back. You can have whatever you want.
Anything. I just got to see Drake May finish it out. I mean, this team is going to get a standing ovation from me no matter how they finish. I mean, it's going to be literally like a NHL season finale type standing ovation for my team while they're out in the middle of the field clapping for the fans like that. There's going to be no disappointment in me one bit for this team. I don't know if I just lost Tyler. It's possible. He might literally be dead. His screen just went black. That's never a great sign. Oh, there you are. So, yeah. I mean, it's literally going to be a standing ovation situation. We are still... I mean, that win last night and Denver losing have propelled us to odds on favorite to get the one seed, which is crazy. I mean, they could literally... They win out, which is very doable. I mean, you got the Jets, which is going to be... Hopefully a breeze. And then you got the Dolphins, who are going to be on their last game of the season in the freezing cold. They're not going to want to play.
With Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, both of them are playing backup quarterbacks. You're on. It was.
Is that better?
Yeah, I hear you. You sound good. But, yeah, so you got the third string Jets quarterback, and you have the second string Dolphins quarterback in the cold at home to close the season. I mean, if you don't win those two games, you don't deserve to do anything. But, yeah, I mean, you could literally clinch the playoffs. You could clinch what? You can clinch the AFC East, I believe, this week, right? If the Bills lose and then we win? Or do we have to win both no matter what?
No, we're good because they have four losses. We have three. They have two losses in the conference. And we would only be able to get to two. So we would have the same record, but I think we have a better...
The only problem is that the only thing is that we beat each other and they lost to the Dolphins. So I think that we still have to win both games to actually win the AFC East. Cause I think we'd lose a tiebreaker somehow. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. But the Bills have the Eagles this weekend.
I know. But I think that if they lose and we win, that doesn't necessarily wrap up the division. I don't think.
If they lose and we win, we'd have three and they'd have five losses. So that should be good.
Okay, yeah. You're right. So, yeah, they could lose. I mean, I don't know.
So they have to lose. But otherwise, we have to win both, which we should just win both. The fact that we can get the one seed would be huge.
Just for injuries alone. I mean, the Broncos have the Chiefs, which they should crush this week. And then they have the Chargers next week, which would be tough. That's at home, though. So... they could lose to the Chargers, which would be nice. And then if they lose to the Chargers and we win out, we're the one seed. The only, you know, that fucking Chiefs game really would have helped out too.
So who's going to be the wild card? So Buffalo would be potentially the fifth wild card.
They'd be five.
The Chargers are looking like they could be the, or Denver, right? Depending on who wins that game.
I don't know. Can Denver lose the division? I don't think so.
Yeah, the Chargers have four losses and Denver has three, but Denver already lost to the Chargers. So they would have the same, but Denver would beat them twice.
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah, I forgot.
So the six would be them, and then
I think the only thing that's up in the air is the AFC North. That's literally it. And Lamar Jackson's probably out for the rest of the year, so I bet you it's... I think the six teams are pretty much set. Or is it seven teams?
In Houston. I don't know anymore. Yeah, the seven in Houston. Houston's in too.
Yeah, so it's Houston, Jacksonville, right? Those two, then Buffalo, Denver, Chargers, Patriots. Who am I missing? That's six.
Well, it's Houston.
East is the Patriots, Chargers, West will be Buffalo, the Chargers, Pittsburgh, or the Broncos, or both. Then Pittsburgh or the Ravens.
Jaguars, Denver.
Jaguars.
Yeah, that's seven. I think you said seven.
Yeah, and that's Jaguars and Texans. So that's, Chargers. That's eight teams basically for seven spots.
Except Baltimore's done, pretty much.
Yeah, Baltimore's pretty much done. I don't think that they can win, to be honest. I mean, the fucking Steelers impressed me, went beating the Lions. I thought the Steelers were kind of a joke, to be honest. And then they went and beat Detroit on the road. So,
well, if you look at the two like incredible offensive coordinator hires, which were Ben Johnson and Liam Cohen, they both took their teams who were like fourth place in the division, four or five wins, and now both those teams are humming.
Yeah,
the Bears and the Jaguars.
The Bears are fucked up too, and also they were playing a backup quarterback and had a win on a Hail Mary but a great play in overtime. I mean, Caleb Williams, I don't know if it's that guy, to be honest. He, like, did shit the first half. Then they had a good second half, obviously. And they got fucking stacked offense and a pretty good defense, too.
And they got lucky that they – I mean, they got an onside kick. They got, like, a bunch of bullshit to win that game. That was – I went to bet, like
– I didn't watch. That was ridiculous. At a party, they won. I did see the final play. But, yeah, I was fucking doing other shit, watching, drinking most of the time. Yeah. I mean, the AFC is just wide open right now. Literally, there's not a team there. I mean, I guess Denver would frighten me the most. Houston's defense.
No.
Houston's defense is like, that's scary to have to play them. But then, like, our defense would be probably 100% when we get to the playoffs, unless somebody else gets injured, like, here in the final 2 weeks. But, I mean, you get Spillane and Milton Williams back. I mean, that's your full defense. That's the defense that was the best run defense in the league for 10 weeks. And then you got, you know, I would feel good our odds against anybody, especially if we're home. Although we haven't lost on the road. Another good. If they beat the Jets this week, undefeated on the road this year, which is crazy. Yeah.
I'll take anyone at this point except for Buffalo. And I would think we could beat Buffalo. I'm not really concerned. Yeah. But Buffalo, it's still Josh Allen.
Yeah, he's the best player, and he's capable of winning a game by himself. But I like our odds at home against Buffalo, especially after losing that last time, and especially with having Milton Williams back and Spillane. I would take us. I bet you we'd be favored in that game. We weren't favored last time, but I would bet we'd be favored to win if that was an AFC Championship game or divisional, whenever they would play. But yeah,
I'm not that worried about playing. I'm not that worried about playing Denver.
I'm worried. The thing I'm worried about that is the fucking our offensive line, and then they are like record breaking sack team with good corners.
We need to get healthy. We need to get need Will Campbell back, and Moses needs to get healthy.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is like that's why it'd be so great big to like. Win this week. The only thing is, like, you really can't even fucking slow down because either you have to win this week, and if they don't win or they win, but like Buffalo wins, then you have to play all your stars week 18, and then like say Buffalo loses and you do win and you clinch the division, you still have to like if you're still gonna want to play for the one seed, which means that you're gonna have to play and win week 18. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're playing for the one seed no matter what.
Right, so you're playing your starters through the end of the year, which stinks, but you're going to have to. Maybe week 18, you play guys a little less. You're going to have to like get up early on the fucking Dolphins and not let up, try and get the guys out by fucking the third quarter. You know what I mean? But you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me thinks Rabel is just one of those guys who's like, hey, our job's to play football. We play football.
Yeah.
Like, get out there soon. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's kind of that
guy. I was never a, like, rest your starters week 18 because it became, like, a huge thing, like, in the early 2000s. Like, the Colts would do it, but the Patriots wouldn't. And, like, the Colts would always go, like, or they wouldn't always, but a lot of times they went, like, one and done in the playoffs. And it was because they, like, would sit Manning and Harrison and Reggie Wayne. All their stars week 18, and then I remember they lost to like the sixth seed Steelers or something at home, as the one seed, and then they were like the first team to ever do that, I think. And like that was, I think that was the famous game where like Jerome Bettis had 3 touchdowns and 2 yards or something. Pretty sure.
Didn't they do it back to? They did it like back to back. Yeah, they went like 15-1 and 14-2 and lost both of them first one and done.
Yeah, and that was the thing. It was like they, because they were always resting the starters week 18. Could have been. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it is. It is nice knowing that we're. It's just knowing that playoff football is coming. I mean, Nina asked me yesterday. She's like, "So, what's the deal? Like, last week was a pretty big week, and they lost. So, like, the Patriots, is this thing almost over or what?" And I was like,
"Oh no, it's not over till I say it's over." And believe me, I was like, we are far from done. We have possibly like, 2 more months of this.
I was like, "We might be the best team in the entire league." She goes, "What are you talking about?
What does that,
that can't
mean?
Be the." That can't be true.
What does that even mean? I just watched them lose. Yeah, we'll. I mean, we're gonna be. I'm gonna be in stadium. Possible 2 playoff games, at least one. And then you're looking at if you get the one seed, you're 1 win away from an AFC championship game in your first season.
The fact that an AFC championship game back in New England is on the table is
ridiculous.
Incredible.
In 1 year, what fucking. I don't know what Gerard Mayo's doing right now, but he has to be an absolute miss. Like, how can he be living with himself? Or I don't even a guy. I know he's probably just counting his millions from his contract that voided. But what is he doing? Like, he hasn't been heard from since he left. Like, since he left that press conference in his fucking Toyota Tercel, wherever he went, home to his mansion, and he hasn't. I don't know if he's come outside since.
I had to listen to someone. Tell me this weekend, I had a Christmas party Saturday. Someone was telling me that they didn't think, like, it wasn't really fair to Mayo because he really didn't get a chance to, like, build a culture. And I immediately just, I had, like, a 3-quart glass of wine, just chugged it in front of him. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to get through this conversation. Like,
we're just not on the same page. I'm not even going to start here The way this is going to end is going to be badly. I mean, the fucking same guy came in on 1 year and built a culture in a week and a half. It's like, if you know what you're doing, it's not that, it doesn't seem to be that hard.
Did you hear the Ramondre quote? I don't care if I'm blocking, I don't care if I'm catching, running, just whatever I need to do to help the team. Diggs has been saying it constantly. It's like every single thing you hear come out of this locker room is, it's almost like, when Belichick used to make them do it, it felt like they were like held. There was like a gun behind their head,
like,
and they're
the
being
boss.
Forced to say it. Yeah, and they're like, "This is what we need to say, or else I'm gonna get, I'll literally get shot at the podium."
Yeah,
and we'll just sweep them under like a third world dictator. We'll pretend it never happened.
Right.
With Mayo, I mean, with Rabel, it's like they're all like, it's almost like they're like these are like fake stories coming out, but they're all just seem genuine and real.
It's he. People, they all love playing for him. He has like the, you know, he's got the effect that he's an ex-player, Super Bowl champion, and he's been in a, you know, a good NFL coach, like Coach of the Year. You know, so he's got like all the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? So players are always going to side with players over coaches. So if your head coach is a Super Bowl champion coach, like I feel like you automatically get more respect. You know, if Bill Belichick and Vrabel walked in the room, Bill Belichick hadn't won anything yet. You know, maybe he was a good defensive coordinator at a different team, and they won a Super Bowl, but he was only a defensive coordinator. And Mike Vrabel came in and had 3 Super Bowl rings from, like, you know, from playing. I mean, Vrabel would always have more respect than I think Belichick would get. So it just works. I mean, you see what he's like in the locker room. Everyone's going nuts. He's got. Everyone said that Diggs was like the cancer to the team. He looks like he's the guy. He's up front every day. He's in front of the team. He breaks the team down. He's like the emotional leader of the team. Drake May, well, at the end of the game, is like, this guy, I mean, you don't have any idea what he does for this team.
He was talking about how much he loves running sprints on Wednesdays. Yeah. In the he's like, Vrabel has his run. We're all excited to run sprints. Like, this is what we need to do. Like, And I think the only thing that he does that might be like a detractor is that he fucks all his teammates' girlfriends. But if you just were to take that one, if you tweet that one little tiny personality quirk, you can call it.
If a man is going, I mean, if he's going for 140 every week.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
You gotta like let him do it. I mean, he's hanging out with Cardi B after the game. He doesn't give a shit. Cardi B is our number one fan. This is huge for us.
I was thinking about that. Like, would you ever be able to like date a girl who like her ex was like dated like an NHL hockey player or something like that?
Could I? No. I mean, well, I don't know. I have a weird sense of confidence in myself that I feel like I could, but hockey player is like the only one. The other, you know, had you said basketball player, I'd be like, obviously not. Like that would never be able to measure up physically or emotionally in any situation. Like she's going to come over to my house and be like, where's the rest of it? You know what I mean? These guys make $50 million a year. Hockey, like you can almost get away with it and be like, okay, he's a pro, but I mean, he's kind of my size. You know, hockey guys are much bigger than us.
Like, if she dated, like Patrick Chung, do you think you could date a girl who, like, dated Patrick Chung? Not even, like, it wasn't his girlfriend, but they hooked up. They might have, like, a three-month thing going on.
They went on a few dates? Yeah, I don't know. Probably. I don't. Patrick Chung would be a weird one, too. Maybe if you said, like, a Steve Gregory or a... Monty Kiesel. I'm gonna pick up some random white linebacker from the 90s. If you dated a Ted Johnson when he just banged his head against a wall for fucking 6 months.
No, I would never. Imagine, like, I would just be like, I would never be. That would be like, what did you guys talk about? What does Ted Johnson talk about with a woman?
Well, he just said that he had his head hurt a lot and then he had to go and sit in the dark. Okay. No, I don't think I could, but I could try. I mean, I'd probably give it a shot. I mean, just to see if I could, because I know that I have more charisma than most NFL players. Like Julian Edelman seems like he's way more charming than me, but like there's certain guys that are way more charming, but a lot of them are just morons.
Yeah, I think I feel like actor wouldn't be hard. Because actors are just so, like, they're just so self-absorbed and obsessed with themselves. Yeah. I feel like that'd be easy to, yeah.
You can convince yourself of anything, really. I mean, I'd be able to. I don't think so. I mean, and pro athlete, I just don't have the, those guys, too, have, like, such determination with, like, exercise and stuff like that. I'd be like, they'd be like, aren't you going to go to the gym? And I'd say, I don't think so. Like, I'm just going to sit here and. I mean, the game's on.
Oh, well, Brian used to work out twice in a day.
Oh, did he? Well, Brian.
Oh, well, good for fucking Brian.
Well, Brian didn't win the Super Bowl last year, did he? I didn't notice Brian fucking winning any games. Right now, I'm on fucking Madden 26, and I got a dynasty going.
And I didn't even draft Brian.
I did it on purpose. I didn't even want him. It was no good anyway. It didn't even fit. It was a 78. What is that? Where do you see the ceiling of this team going right now? This season, realistically, in your mind,
it really just depends on what seed we get. If we get the one seed, Either way, I think I could definitely see us in the AFC Championship game. I don't know if we can win that game.
Yeah. Well, it depends who they play. I really think that they could beat anybody in the AFC, especially at home. I think Drake would have a difficult time winning in Denver. It's hard to win in Denver. It doesn't matter what, how good they are and where, you know, it's just hard to win there. So it's like, I think that I would like them against anybody
Buffalo
at home.
Feels like Josh Allen feels like a playoff Josh Allen. He's going to be running all over the place.
I just think that we're going to, I think we'll beat Buffalo again. I really do. I think that we're going to beat Buffalo again. If it, yeah, obviously in the playoffs it would have to be, but I just, if they play,
their defense is a lot worse.
Their defense stinks, and you can run on them, you can throw on them. All we have to do is stop the run. That's like they did in the first game. What's his name? Cook only had like 58 yards or something, and Josh Allen wasn't that great. So it's going to be the same scenario. You're just going to, you need your run stoppers back. I really think that they could beat Buffalo. Like, had they had Milton Williams and Spillane last time, they would have won. You know, they were up 21-0, but they couldn't stop them because they were just running right up the middle. So, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, I
like them against
anybody. I agree. I'm not that afraid of Buffalo. In Denver is an issue.
Right. Oh, we lost Ty. He might be gone forever. But, okay. We'll see when he comes back. But, like I was saying, in Denver, brutal. That's a tough spot to go. But, realistically, and I said it, the ESPN has projected that. They projected the entire rest of the year, and they simulated it like 10,000 times, and the most likely scenario was Patriots versus Rams in the Super Bowl, with Patriots losing. But, you know, getting there would be insane in the first place. So, I mean, if they can get to the AFC Championship at home, I like our odds against anybody. Jacksonville's kind of weird right now. I mean, they're playing fucking out of their minds. They're winning on the road. They got a really good wide receiver room. Now they added Jacoby Myers. Trevor Lawrence is playing the best he ever played. Their defense is, you know, timely. They're pretty, you know, they're good. I can see they have a shot at getting the one seed. Denver, of course, has good running backs, good wide receivers, great, like, all-time defense. Problem is they have Bo Nix, so you just don't know what you're going to get. Hey, you're back. I was just talking to myself for a minute there.
Where'd you go?
Where'd I go? I've been sitting here. Did you leave?
No, I was in the room by myself.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what happened.
I must have just tripped out. I was just talking about how Jacksonville is kind of like, you know, they're not bad. They're timely. They have good wide receivers. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence is playing the best he's ever played. So it's really hard to figure. Everybody in the playoffs is going to be pretty good in the AFC. The NFC is where it gets really tough. Like, I don't know if we could beat Seattle or the Rams in any neutral field game. You know what I mean?
Or the Eagles.
Eagles would be tough, too. But the Eagles aren't, like, the same Eagles they have been. They got a good defense, but their offense is weak. Like, it's not a great offense anymore.
But this happens, like, every year. And then all of a sudden, like, they get in the playoffs and they just are like they run the ball well. Like, Hurts makes like just enough plays every game. He's not good, but he's not bad. No. He's like good enough. And they have good receivers and their defense is awesome.
Yeah, they got a lot of great players. And I don't know, their offense isn't as good as it's been. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to get blown out by Buffalo this week, too. Because like their offense doesn't move at like. You just watch their games, and like the announcers are like, I just don't know what's going on with them. There's like not, like they have all the players. The only one they're missing is like Lane Johnson, right? Their right tackle. But they have all their players in place. They're running the same plays, but they just can't do it. Like Saquon Barkley's not really doing much. AJ Brown hasn't been doing much. Jalen Hurts has been average at best. I don't know. It's weird. It's like, and then their defense is
AJ
like,
Brown's probably like, he's probably like eighth in yards in the league right now.
Yeah,
maybe 10th.
He's always bitching.
But he's always complaining.
Yeah.
Hurts probably has like he's probably like the 10th or so best fantasy quarterback. And I think everyone's like, we should cut him.
We should actually just get rid of him. Like they hate their entire team, yet they're like always just really good. I don't understand.
Philadelphia has a they may be more negative on their teams than Boston are sometimes. I was reading the other day, they were like, what's his name? Jalen Hurts wore a Yankees hat to his like post-game press conference. And it was like a thing in Philadelphia media. And I was like, these guys are fucking just as bad as Boston. Like, they're New York we Yankees did that. Aren't even fucking friends with fucking, they're not even enemies of the Phillies.
Philly. Yeah. No, and we did that in like, that was like 2001. That was like a thing.
When Tom Brady.
Like if a basketball player wore a Yankees hat.
I remember Tom Brady did it when Tom Brady did it when he was in New York and he had to be like, everyone's like, who gives a fuck? He's winning Super Bowls constantly. You think I give a shit what hat he's wearing?
That was
that was at the height of the rivalry too. It was like 2004, 2005. I don't know. Philadelphia's weird. I don't trust them. I don't like how Jalen Hurts dresses like 1996 Michael Jordan, by the way. Like he wears like he's got the goatee, the hoop earrings, and like the backwards like golf hat. I don't even know what you'd call it. The scally cap is what I would call it.
But he'll backwards scally and big like an oversized leather jacket.
Yeah. He literally dresses like 96. If you Google 1996 Michael Jordan, he looks exactly like the only thing that's missing is like a cigar. That's literally the only thing that's missing when Jalen Hurts walks around places. I don't know why he decided to style himself Michael Jordan 96, but that's what he's going for. FUBU. I don't know. We'll see. You got the Jets this week. What's that? We're going to blow them out. I don't think it's going to be particularly close. They lost to the Saints by like 30 this week.
Yeah, the Jets aren't... They're bad. They're just real bad. I just don't understand how you can... Like we drafted in the top, what do we have, three top draft picks?
Who we do?
Who we had Will Campbell and Drake May. Is that it? We only had two top like five draft picks?
Ever? Or what?
In the last like few years?
Yeah, top five. Yeah, who's those two?
And it seems like it's like home run, home run.
Yeah. Grand slam, grand slam. Right, exactly.
And how do you do it for a decade straight?
More than a decade straight.
They should have like a left tackle that everyone knows their name.
Yep.
They should have a right tackle who's a monster. Do they? Like, is that who's good for them?
Who their left tackle. Their right tackle they definitely drafted early last year, or maybe it was this year.
The kid from Penn State that I want.
Yeah, they got the guy from Penn State, and he was playing right tackle. I don't remember who their left tackle is. I don't know. I have no idea.
I've never heard a single thing about him.
No, I haven't either. Everybody that they draft that's like a hit, they either trade or like they suck for the Jets. Like now some of their high draft picks are starters elsewhere and are decent. Like what's his name? Sam Darnold, Geno Smith. They're starting other
Sauce
places.
Sauce Gardner.
Oh yeah, Sauce Gardner. You know what I mean? They any good Quentin player they Williams. Had is they have now traded. So they traded their best two players, Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. And Sam Darnold's playing. He's the number one seed in the NFC. Dumbass Geno was fine. He was good in Seattle. He's not very good for the Raiders. And then their other top pick that's good, Garrett Wilson, is injured.
Who was the linebacker they had? Was Mosley on their team?
No, he retired before this year.
Oh, he retired this year?
Yeah. Before this year.
I just don't understand how you can be, like, this consistently bad.
It's a curse for the Jets. They literally, it's been, they go in weird, like, spurts of, like, competence for 3 or 4 years. Like, the Rex Ryan years, I would say they were somewhat competent. They went to the AFC Championship back-to-back years, I think. And, they were really good defense. They had a weak offense, but like good enough. It was like a run first offense with Mark Sanchez. They had like, LaDainian Tomlinson, Sean Green,
Sean Green, yeah.
Tight ends, shit like that. And then they they still had wide receivers. Didn't they have Santonio Holmes, like Plaxico Burress then? Or Braylon Edwards. They had all those like guys that came over from other teams. And then the whole team was built out of free agents. And, Rex Ryan had him playing pretty good. And then they were drafting pretty good. They drafted Revis. You know, they were doing pretty good for like 3 or 4 years. And then
they had the other.
Eventually, it just falls.
Their other cornerback was the dude who had like 12 kids.
Yeah, Antonio Cromartie.
Cromartie and Revis. Yeah, yeah, they were fucking loaded.
Yeah, they were stacked.
Bart Scott was on those teams.
Yeah, they were stacked. Sean Ellis, they had fucking. I don't know if John Abraham was on that team anymore. Probably not. But yeah, they were stacked. Their defense was ridiculous. Like 2009, Jets defense was awesome. But yeah, it just all, it, like I said, they go on like 3 or 4 years of competence, and then for some reason they'll like fall apart and then never recover. And then they just start over again. New general manager, new head coach, and then fuck it all up for 3 more years. And, you know, it goes like 15, 18 years in between competence. The Buffalo Bills were like, did like almost 30. So, I mean, that's not that bad. Dolphins seem to just always be in the middle somewhere. Once in a while, they'll be like 1-15 and then, you know, 9 wins, but they haven't been really any type of danger to anybody since like since Marino retired, really.
Yeah, they had that team that went into Kansas City a couple of years ago with Tua, and it was like -10, and yeah, they got dominated. And that was the end of this little Tyreek run. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're
I don't understand that. Like, how don't they understand that, like, it's going to be cold sometimes? The Miami Dolphins just can never figure it out. I mean, you play in the NFL. How is it the Tampa can do it? How is it the Jacksonville can do it? But Miami just can't figure out how to play in the cold. Like, Tua's Hawaiian. I get it. Like, he doesn't want to be fucking out there. But this is long before Tua was around. Like, you knew. Like, that's what the thing is. Like, New England doesn't want to play in Miami in September. And then Miami doesn't want to play in Foxborough in December. It's literally, like, almost a guaranteed loss for both teams. So, now that we got a nice Southern boy playing quarterback, it's not so bad to go down there in the humidity. Tom couldn't handle it.
Well, that was Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and Higgins. Like, they're like, let's get out of Cincinnati. Let's go down to Miami this weekend. And they hung 50 on the Dolphins.
Yeah, just hanging out. I mean, it's not it was like, this weather is right now. It's down there, it's probably 78 degrees, no humidity. It's cooked down there. Fucking relaxed.
Yeah, the boys had a good time this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins probably quit. I mean, the head coach is like probably dead man walking at this point. So, I mean, these next two games really should be, you just can't give them any hope, you know what I mean? I don't think you're going to have to worry much about the Jets. I think the Jets are just playing, like, backups to see what they even have, like, for next year. The Dolphins scare me to a point, because they do have legitimate, like, threats. You know, Waddle's good. Devin Achane is fucking awesome.
Achane, there's nothing we can do with Achane. We don't have the speed to cover him. No one in the league does. He's ridiculous.
He makes a great play every single week. He may be the best running back in the league right now. Yeah, he's really good. And, you know, they're going to have a backup court. What's his name? Ewers play this week?
He played this week, yeah.
He did. And what did he stink, or was he any good or no?
They lost by 45. I mean, he was awful.
I don't know. Was he terrible or not? I have no idea.
He certainly wasn't good. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, this is their issue.
Yeah.
He was a solid.
Yeah. That's true. So, there's not much else to talk about. I mean, they should fucking crush the Jets. I'm going to say that they're going to beat the Jets 34-7. Not 7. I'm not going to give them. 34-6. And Drake's out of there before the middle of the fourth quarter. That's what I'm saying.
No, this is the NFL, and in the NFL, in the fourth quarter, for somehow of like 98% of games, the Jets are going to have the ball with like a chance where we're like, why isn't this game over? Yeah. Like, this game feels like it should have been over for a long time, and it's just not going to be over, and we might score at the, it's going to be within a score. It's going to be Jets. Like... No, yeah, it's going to be like 22-14.
22-14? Man, if this is even close. I think they're 9.5-point favorites on the road. Maybe it's actually 12, I think I should say. I think it opened at 9.5. If they don't cover the spread, there's going to be a problem for me, personally. I think they're going to... Let's see. They are currently... 13.5. It's up 1.5 since I even looked at it a couple hours ago. So they're 2 touchdown favorites. We're not.
Yeah, but we don't really. We're not like that type of team that just like. We don't just hand it to teams.
No, but they're going to, because the Jets lost to the Saints last week by like 25 points.
The Saints have won 3 in a row.
Yeah, well, forget it.
Somehow.
The Saints.
I don't understand.
Who was the quarterback when we played the Saints? Because it doesn't. I don't think it was this rookie, was it?
It was Rattler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't. It didn't even go that easily. Yeah, so we played Rattler, and they have now this guy, his name should be Show, but it's actually pronounced Shuck.
I don't understand that. That's the dumbest thing of all time. What about who did we blow anyone out this year?
The Panthers. Blew out the Panthers. Who else? We blew out a couple teams. Definitely the Panthers. I remember that because I was at the game. The game was over at halftime. They blew out the Panthers. They blew out the Titans, the Browns, in back-to-back weeks. That's pretty much it. Giants too. The Giants came back a little bit. That was like 33-15.
It was
33-15, but we were up way more than that. It was like 35 to something else too. So they blew out like 3 teams, which is good.
Yeah, the Panthers, the Titans, and the Browns. Every other game has been
close.
Oh, the Jets. We kind of beat the Jets by 2 touchdowns on Thursday night.
Oh yeah,
that was quick work.
Yeah, fucking Jets stink. But then we're going to...
In the Giants. Yeah, so the Jets really do stink. They're not going to score, but it's just a matter of, like, if our offense is moving the ball, which we should, but I don't know. I feel like we're going to feel sorry for ourselves with all these injuries, and we're not going to be, like, we're not going to come out fire. I don't know. I get nervous.
See how they, I don't know how they're going to... That's going to be 40, maybe a little light rain in East Rutherford. You'll see. I mean, I think they're just going to go in there and just handle business. The Jets are going to put up very minimal effort. And I think that fucking Aaron Glenn, I think the Patriots want to take it to Aaron Glenn because he didn't even accept an interview for the Patriots job. He wouldn't even interview.
This year?
Yeah. He wouldn't even interview for him. Like, the Patriots interviewed 2 people, Vrabel and Ben Johnson. And Aaron Glenn said no. So I feel like they're just going to want to fucking just take him to the woodshed.
I want a little credit for shitting on Dan Campbell for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he had like those last couple of years where he looked like a genius, and then he loses Ben Johnson and
The guy Aaron that's clearly
is good, but
it's clearly the guy. I mean, Ben Johnson was clearly the guy dialing up fucking, I mean, although Detroit's offense is still pretty good. Is there, I don't know what's wrong with them. Their defense isn't as good at all. And then, don't forget the Patriots got like their other, like basically their assistant head coach, defensive coordinator, Williams. So he's like,
who didn't even coach this year.
Yeah. He's not even coaching. Right. Exactly. He's helping, but he's not really coaching at all. I don't know if he's,
is he back?
They said he was around.
I thought he was in the hospital.
No, they said he was in the locker room last week. And I was like, well, they fucking put up, Josh Allen put up 5 straight touchdowns. This guy got right out of chemo, fucking came back. So I don't know. I don't think he's like coaching full time or anything. But yeah, so he's around. Yeah, I don't know. I think the Patriots are going to blow him the fuck out. And then we'll see what's next week. I don't think we're going to be able to have the podcast next week. I'll be up on vacay. And I'm sure you'll be doing stuff. And I don't know. I'm going to fucking have my stuff. Maybe I'll do something. Maybe I'll bring my microphone with me and just do a quick half-hour pod while I'm up in New Hampshire, just chilling with the kids. Miserable.
What? Any good Santa gifts or what? What do you get this year?
What do we got? Not really. I mean, I had to get my daughter a new tablet, which I hate already. I had to get... my son got a new VR, which I hate. And then, you know, trinkets, fucking like a Barbie camper. What other shit did they get? Just everything they always want. So the kids don't like normal shit anymore. Like my kid, well, specifically my son doesn't like normal shit. He likes like made up video games that are on the VR that no one's ever heard of. It's not like Mario anymore. Like you couldn't like go anywhere and be like, know what he's talking about. Like there's no commercials for it. It's all YouTube based nonsense. And they are geniuses with like commercialization of it and marketing it, like just for little kids. It's like a game called Gorilla Tag, right? And it's fucking absolute nonsense. You're a monkey that, like, I don't even get the game. You run around, but you know how you like have the handles when you're in VR? You have like a handle on each hand. Like, you have to run like a monkey. So, like, your hands are your feet. So, you basically have to, like, put your, like, basically, it looks like you're jumping rope constantly, just running around the building. But, like, whatever. Like, people take that game and, like, make their own mini games out of it, I guess. And then you have to, like, whatever. And now my kid's walking down the stairs, but, like, they make all these different, like, mini games. And, like, those people will, like, sell merch for shit. And then that's the stuff I have to, like, go get. Like, and they'll do it like it's a drop at noon on November, or like they'll say it like Black Friday at noon. It drops. We only have 150,000 of these things. You got to get it right there. My wife's like, be on the internet 10 minutes early. If you miss this, we're done. It's divorce. I'm like, okay, I'll get on there, and it'll be like a stuffed animal, $140. I'm like, what the fuck is this? That's like
I'm on
my life now.
that's yeah, we're just still with we got a fire truck, which
yeah.
Everyone's gonna be fired up. They're gonna be pumped about that. Fire trucks at
fucking
we're peak fire truck age.
Yep, sure.
And
are.
And we got hockey skates.
Ooh.
And
real skates?
A couple. Oh yeah.
Oh, you got blades. Nice.
And a couple coloring books, and that's where we're at.
I'd go back to those days any day.
I mean, we're like about to go to the dollar store just to get like a bunch of things just to open,
fill it up. Yeah, exactly.
She could care less. Like, she's gonna like, yeah. No, I don't know.
My kids are like fucking obsessed with Santa, and they're obsessed with like the elf more than anything. My daughter's like, I mean, she thinks it's, I mean, the most magic thing that's ever had. Every single morning she wakes up, she like talks to him. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I had her sleep at my dad's house. I went to a party on Saturday night. And I go, Dad, you got to put this elf out in the morning. Or when everyone goes to sleep, just leave it out and they'll come find it in the morning. Like, Arya needs to see it. Like, her and Sabrina need to see it or they're going to lose their minds. So he put it out. And then I get a call at like 9:30. I'm like, hello? Fucking so hungover. And I'm like, who is this? And it's my daughter's talking on the other line from my dad's number. And they're like, Daddy, the elf was here and now it's gone. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, it was here this morning. And then we went in the other room and now he's gone. I was like, where'd he go? He's like, he's just gone. He's not where he was. I had a quick think and I was like, oh, he must have went to the North Pole because he knew you were coming home today. I'm like, my dad fucking took it out. And he's so like fucking, I don't know. He's like so like hyper focused on like keeping his house clean that he packed it away again, like immediately, like during. I'm like, you got to leave it out all day. And then I get it. I had it all planned out, like this little plastic thing. It's like a travel case for the elf. So like you put him in there with tongs, because you can't touch him. I don't know if you're into this shit yet, but it's like you can't touch him.
No, we have an elf. No, yet.
You can't. If you touch him, he loses his magic. You got to put cinnamon on him. It's a whole thing. But so yeah, my dad like fucked up the whole magic. I was like, dude, you can't just. He's got to stay out. That's where he is the whole day. And he's like, oh, I don't care about that. I was like, well, they care about it. That's all they care about.
Yeah, I know. I know you don't care about this.
But my daughter invites.
They need to care.
All she does is talk to him. But she's like, I hope Buddy comes to my birthday party. I was like, I'm sure he will be there. He's like, she invites him to her birthday. That's 8 months away. They like that thing way more than they like Santa.
Yeah. So we didn't do it this year. She'd probably be like just old enough to like get it.
Yeah.
But we're like, do we need to do this? Does everyone, is this it? You just have to do it now?
Yeah. It's like it's a thing now. So I didn't like, I got it for my kid early because my nephews were real young. My nephew and my niece were real young and they were super into it. They were probably like, I don't know how much older he is than Sonny. I guess he's 3 years older. So he was like three and she was two. So I got one for Sonny, like his first year being born. Obviously, he didn't know what the fuck's going on. He's like 8 months, yeah, you know, 8 months old, his first Christmas. But I had to have it in my house so that my nephew's niece saw it. So I had it forever. But I mean, they love it. It's fun. I like Christmas shit. So I do weird. I do all the stuff at night. My wife does it sometimes. I do it sometimes. But I like doing like scenes with them and like fucking with them. Like I'll make him Spider-Man sometimes. Like, well, I have like a Grinch plushie, and I'll have him like stealing the fucking elf and like taking him places. I just like doing shit like that. The kids don't respect it enough, but sometimes I do good ones. One time I made a what do you call that? Squid Games. Like I told you, Sonny's into weird like YouTube shit. So he would be watching like Squid Games, like fucking fan fiction games. I'm like, why? You can't watch that. That's way too like inappropriate for you. And he'd be like, no, it's fine, it's fine. So I made like a Squid Games, you know, like the Squid Games guards with like the fucking like the triangles. Yeah. I made one for him, for the elf, and I put it on him, and he came down when I was making it. I just left him. I was like, oh, he's there. I didn't know where he came from. I just had to leave him. I was working on the costume for like 3 hours, and he just came down and like popped in. I was like, you got to be shitting me.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll become an elf family. We weren't planning on it, but it seems like it just is what everyone does now. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, it's a pretty. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, pretty much everybody that I know has an elf. I don't know what they do with them. Like some, like my brother's kids don't give a shit, but like they have one and they bring it out, but like they don't care about like finding it, but they do like to see it around. And my kids are like, where's Leo's elf? I'm like, he's around. I don't know. Like, so like, it's weird now. Like I have to put my elf fucking priorities on you. Like if you're around me and you like accidentally stay the night or something, I'm like, where's your elf? You got to bring an elf, by the way. Like instead of like bringing clothes, you just make sure you bring an elf. So that fucking...
Wait, your elf has to come with you everywhere you go?
It has to be in the house you wake up in for the day.
This is just a lot.
It's a lot.
This is just what parenting is now?
That's it. It's basically just making magic for the kids at all times.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just know Isla would have lost her mind if the elf was in the house every day, and she would have loved finding him. And yeah. So I feel like on that level, I'm like, I think I let her down this year.
How old is she, two?
Two.
Yeah.
She's going to be three.
And next year, you got to buy, it comes with a book, right? And then you're like, you get the book and you like name it and it becomes like magic that time when you get the book. By the way, this person who invented this is a fucking genius. It was like a terrible book that's like, you know, just like a little kid's story. And it comes with the elf, and then you name the elf, you get a certificate, and then that like the elf is like your elf. And then it fucking, you have to like put it somewhere every single night and just becomes like part of your family, basically.
But what do you do with them after Christmas?
Put them away till next Christmas. You tell them that he goes back to the North Pole to be with Santa, and then he comes up the day after Thanksgiving. He comes out on the 5th or whatever the day after Thanksgiving exactly. And then he leaves on Christmas Day, so he's gone. Christmas Eve is the last day he's there because he's reporting to Santa.
So he's not there on Christmas.
No, he's there Christmas Eve. And he's not supposed to be there ever again, but I bring him out for Arya's birthday because she needs him to be there. She invites him. So she'll wake up on her birthday and he'll be downstairs usually with like a sign that says happy birthday, Arya, or something like that.
And it's just her favorite thing in the world?
Yeah, she can't get enough of it. She talks about it 8 hours a day, and she asks it, like, I'll be like walking around and I'll just hear her talking to him. I'm like, stop talking. He's not going to talk back. Like, buddy,
please
tell Santa that I want. They'd be doing shit like that.
Oh, Jesus.
It's good though, because that's kind of what I wanted out of kids, is like them to be enamored with Christmas magic. And Sonny really doesn't care about it too much, but the girls are like super into Christmas and shit like that. So I make them watch Christmas movies, and actually they don't even really like Christmas movies, but I like to lay Christmas movies, you know, play them around them so that maybe they like them. I don't know why, but I enjoy Christmas, so I want them to enjoy it. And you know, Sonny doesn't really care, but the girls love it. And this the elf is like, I don't know, over the top Christmassy, so they love that, and that makes me like it.
Oh, yes, you're too perfect.
Yeah. All right.
I just want Christmas to be special again.
Yeah, I just wanted to mean something, man. Back when, you know, I didn't have a care in the world. Like when I could wake up and there'd be a nice, freshly packed Ninja Turtle under my tree. That was life, man. Now I have to worry about crushing debt and fucking cancer whenever that's coming. Yeah.
All right, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Follow us on Twitter, Brady Disciple, Malcolm Go Pod, Discord, you know, Patreon. Join the Patreon, people. Stop being such cheapskates. It's like $1 a month. Patreon.com/MalcolmGoPodcast. Until then, of course, I'll try, maybe I'll check in. Always follow us on Twitter. I'm always dropping just banger tweets. Get on there and enjoy yourselves. All right, go Pats, go.
Do your job! All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job! 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, your honor. Your kids are honored. Your family's honored.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
And Warner goes back to throw. And here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The back is intercepted. Big time by Kyle. 30, 25, 20, 15. Touchdown. Kyle picks it up and takes it to the house. Lewis. Four. Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good.
It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The best team in the
league. Hey! Did it.
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you. You worked your ass off.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.